Isaiah 28 and verse 16. Therefore thus saith the Lord Jehovah, Behold, I lay for foundation in Zion a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that trusteth shall not make haste. My blessed Saviour, lost the election, won the seat. Every vote was cast against him, but his victory is complete. His constituency is glorious. All the earth claimed as his own. No one else has right or title but the man who's on the throne. I want to tell you about my Saviour. After 8 weeks of listening to the spurious promises of men and women who will surely let persons down, what folk want is certainty. And I can assure you that you will not find it outside of Christ. What is offered in the glad tidings tonight to you has been fully costed. The price has been paid. And I don't want you to be trivial, to be careless about the word as it comes tonight, because the cost was immense. It comes free to you, but the cost was immense. I can't begin to tell you what it cost, because it was the blood of my Saviour. That I can stand here tonight and tell you of a way of salvation. My Saviour had to die and bleed on Calvary's cross. It's not for the few or for the many. It's for everybody. And you're not excluded tonight because of your race or your creed or your culture or your wealth or your intelligence. And you're not exempt because you were brought up in a Christian home and know the terms of the gospel. It's offered to you because you need it. And God desires that you should have it because he loves you. And he knows about your lost condition, even if you don't. Because we're all as away from Christ in a lost condition. You need this message is relevant to you. Whoever you are, it's relevant. Because we're all sinners, every single one of us. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. It's a great leveller, you know. The socialists would like to level everybody out. Give everybody the same. But the only way we can be levelled out tonight is that we're all sinners. And we need a saviour. And the saviour is available to whosoever. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, the heart of God, you know. Out in the glad tidings tonight to everybody. And there's no other way of coming into blessing. There's no other salvation. Persons have been offered a choice over these past few weeks. Various names put forward. There's only one name put forward in the glad tidings. The name of Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Do you know the certainty of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have certainty about the past, you know? About your past? Do you hope that it'll just be all right? You know, persons speak like that, that they'll take their chances. What folly, you know? The Bible is clear. It's absolutely plain what will happen to persons who refuse Christ. Who do not obey the glad tidings. It's clear. There's no doubt about it. Don't take chances with your eternal welfare. If you don't know Christ, you're perishing. You're perishing. That's what John 3 and 16 tells me. You know, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. That means you are perishing. That's why you need a Saviour. That's why you need Jesus. Oh, that you'll come by the divinely appointed way tonight and trust in the Lord Jesus. What is that way? It's repentance towards God and faith in Christ. That's the way of blessing. It's coming to God's assessment of what you are as a sinner. What you think about your life is not relevant. It's what God thinks about it. And I can tell you that he studied your life in the way that he studied everybody's life. What a day in your life when you come to Christ, you know. That's a great day. That's a day when your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Never to be erased, you know. How's that for certainty, you know? Are you certain about the future? Do you know what the future holds? The believer in Jesus is certain about the future. There's no doubt about it. He will be with Christ eternally. But you know, there is another scenario which you have to be warned about. The lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels, but man will find himself there as refusing Christ. Behold, I lay for foundation in Zion. This is God's doing, you know. This is what he has done in order that you might have a righteous basis for your faith, that you might be able to trust in something that will never let you down. You know, the people of Israel here had made an agreement with the Assyrian, an agreement with death that God had described it as. And they were to find, you know, that it would let them down, that what they were resting in would fail them, that the bed was too short and the covering was too narrow. You know, you can't cover yourself. Adam and Eve sought to cover themselves with the fig leaves to cover their shame. But you know, in the sight of God, that was not a covering. God provided coats of skin and clothed them. Don't disregard what God's providing for you in the glad tidings tonight, you know. We belong to a race that has fallen. We have to accept that. There's a truck that goes round our neighbourhood called Northeast Fallen Stock, and it picks up all the animals that have fallen in the field. You know, that's every one of us. Fallen stock. You know, you've nothing to commend yourself to God. Nothing. The fall that happened in the Garden of Eden affected everybody, because you belong to that race that fell. And you know, Abel recognized the fall in his offering to God. He gave to God of the firstlings of the flock and of their fat. He recognized that mankind had fallen and that it required a sacrifice be made to bring man back. Cain disregarded the fall. He offered to God of his own efforts. And you know, God never looked upon him. How could God accept anything from man that had fallen? The first vessel, you know, was marred, wasn't it? As Jeremiah was told to go down to the potter's house. And there the potter worked a work on the wheels. And the first vessel was marred. And God began again. He began again in Christ. But you know, think of God waiting 4,000 years to bring his man on. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. And up until that time, that man that had failed was tried in every single department. And it was failed every time. He was tried under government. He was tried under law. He was tried under grace. And he failed. And that's the race to which you and I belong. And that's the race that was finished completely at Calvary's cross. Finished. So God's not looking for anything from you as a man or woman after the flesh. God brings his man on, you know. A different kind of man. Behold my servant, mine elect. Mine elect. Look at him. Look at him. God's calling attention to Christ tonight. Look at the cross. Look now to Jesus Christ and live. The only hope for the children of Israel who were bitten by the serpent was to look to the serpent of brass. The only hope tonight is to look to Christ. You know, the very thing that had brought in the trouble was the serpent, and it was placed upon a pole. My Saviour was made sin. The very thing that had brought in the trouble. Him who knew not sin was made sin for us, that we might become God's righteousness in him. That's the way back. That's the way back. I have to think of blessed God waiting, you know, waiting for the moment when Christ would come. Think of his incoming, you know. Think of the angelic host praising God, seeing their Creator for the first time. There it was, the Creator of the world in a Bethlehem's manger. Oh, the grace of my Saviour. How great he is. How great he was. And yet he comes into the world that his hands had made and touched humanity at its weakest point. You know, that life was so delightful to heaven. That life was studied and it was precious, you know. This is my beloved Son in whom I found my delight. That was heaven's assessment of 30 years of the life that we know so little of. But as he takes up public service, he's driven into the wilderness, and there Satan attacks him. And what is brought out then, that Satan had no point of access to my Saviour. He was absolutely sinless. Satan offered him the glory without the suffering, and he wouldn't take it. Satan attempted to take him out of the place of dependent manhood, and had Satan succeeded, my Saviour could not have gone to the cross. But that was a different order of man that God had brought in. You know, God presented to the world in Christ what he looked for in man, but had never found. And you know, that life, a tried stone, you know. A tried stone. Think of how it was tried. Think of how his strength was weakened in the way. Think of these incidents in the Lord's life that headed up to Calvary. Think of the closing scenes of anguish that we cannot enter into. Think of his sufferings in the garden when his devotion to the will of God was to come under the most severe testing, because it involved taking on the liability that was due to you and I. It involved the curse. It involved the judgment of God. It involved death, his own death. It involved the agonies of Calvary. Does it affect you? Behold and see if there be sorrow like unto my sorrow, whom the Lord has afflicted in the day of his fierce anger. Make no mistake about it. The storm burst on the head of my Saviour as he went forward to bear my sins, to bear the judgment that God rightly have, because God must judge sin. He must judge it. God could not pass the sinner by. He cannot act outside of his holiness and his righteousness in expressing his love to you. He cannot act outside of his righteousness. Justice demands that he should die. But in the cross of Christ we see how God can save, yet righteous be. Isn't that wonderful? That's why you can have such certainty in your heart tonight if you accept Christ, because God is entirely satisfied with that finished work. You're not saved on your appreciation of the blood. You're saved on God's appreciation of it. When I see the blood, he said in Egypt, when I see the blood, he saw the blood at Calvary's cross, the blood of his only begotten son. That's why I can't stress enough the cost that the blessed God the Father, as he visited on the head of his well-beloved son, the judgment that was due to me. God commends his love to us. Think of God commending his love to you tonight, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Nothing to commend us. The Lord Jesus knew what lay in God's heart for his fallen creature, and he came to express it, to tell us how God felt about us. You know, God had no way of communicating to his creature how he felt about him until Christ came. And there it was, God's love told out. That's what I find at the cross, you know. Oh, the cross of Christ is wondrous. There I learn God's heart to me, because he spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all. What a saviour we have to present in the glad tidings, you know. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone. You know, the cornerstone gives effect to the whole building. Christ doesn't fit into man's building. He's been rejected, and he's still rejected. We will not have this man. The world's judgment has never been reversed. Persons say, why do these things happen? The terrible things that are happening in Manchester, in London, in Paris, these terrible acts, why are they happening? The world chose a murderer instead of Christ. The originator of life he slew, and chose a man that was a murderer. It's the world's choice. It's never been reversed. What's your choice tonight? We're not offering a choice in the glad tidings, you know. The gospel is preached for your acceptance. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. How is that possible? It's to be washed away in the blood of Christ. It's the only way you could be cleansed tonight, and the only way that you could reach God. You know, men, it's just, persons think that they could reach God in other ways, that they could come to know God through their own efforts, through devotion, or doing some great thing, you know. But there's no way. There's no access to God. There is no access to heaven apart from Christ. Remember that calendar last year? Written on the back, you may go to heaven without wealth, without health, without fame, but you'll never go without Christ. People say if anybody's in heaven, so and so will be there. There's no one will be in heaven without a living link with Christ. There's no one will be there whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written there in these pages, bright and fair? What a challenge. Are you certain of a living link with the Saviour? A sure foundation. You can put your implicit trust in the Saviour tonight and know that the future's secure. Your past is settled because the Lord Jesus has dealt with it. There's not one thing that you've done that he doesn't know about. The woman in John 4 was astounded to find that out. That the Lord knew more about her than she knew about herself. My sins not in part, but the whole. Yes, things that you've forgotten. He knows every single thing. And it's wonderful, you know, that the one who knows you best loves you most. Isn't that wonderful? Every single sin that you've ever committed, forgiven. Sin's not forgiven, you know. Sin is judged. It was judged at the cross completely. God condemned sin in the flesh in his own Son. And that order, as I've said, that order of man was finished. The Lord said, the things concerning me have an end. He took his place. He took my place. He took his place among men in the likeness of man. And he took my place at Calvary's cross. And he comes out of death in a new condition. He laid down a life not to take it again. He comes out of death in a new condition. And that is the cornerstone of the building. And so persons who are in the presence of God eternally will be like Christ. Isn't that wonderful, you know? As we have borne the image of the man made of dust, well, you say, I couldn't help that. That's true. You couldn't help that. But you can't blame Adam for your sin, you know. You're responsible for your own sin. It's not long before that comes to light in a child, is it? Not long. The fact that they're fallen, belong to a fallen race. But you know, there's a Saviour tonight for all. A Saviour for the guilty. A Saviour for the lost. A living, glorious Saviour who went into death, who died for us, and who now lives for us. You know, these times that we're in are troublesome times. Psalm 2, you know, is a great psalm. Why are the nations in tumultuous agitation? They plot together against Jehovah and against his anointed. I have anointed my king upon Zion. Christ has been anointed. Christ is coming as the king, the one, the only one who has a right to reign. Believers in the Lord Jesus are looking for him to come. He's coming for them. That's the rapture. That's private, you know. He'll come to claim everyone who loves him. The dead in Christ who've gone on before will hear his voice. Think of the power in the voice of the Son of God that will open the graves of those who've trusted him. We'll stand on the earth, and then together we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, to be with him. That's an absolute certainty. There's no doubt about it. Christ is coming. But he's coming with his saints, coming to take up the reins in government. Everything will be put right. There'll be no compromise then, you know. No deals made. Every knee will bow to Jesus. Why not bow tonight? Bow to a Saviour. You may bow otherwise to a judge, you know. The same blessed person. John saw him in Revelation in a way that he'd never seen him before, you know. Before whose face heaven and earth fled. That same blessed Jesus was there in judicial garb. Oh, the great white throne, you know, is a dreadful scene. And God forbid that anybody who comes under the sound of the glad tidings tonight should find themselves there. The great white throne, the dead, great and small, those who've refused Christ lined up, and not a voice raised in defence. Everybody there will know why they're there, because they had opportunity to come to Christ. This offer is time sensitive, as people say, you know. It will expire. I don't know when, but the offer in the glad tidings will expire suddenly. This may be the last opportunity you have. Because when Christ comes, there'll be no more gospel. And persons will remember that they had an opportunity. There it is, the dead, great and small, and the books were opened. Think of God's books, you know. Think of things written down. Things that you've done, written down. And another book was opened. The Lamb's Book of Life, just to check if there's anybody there written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Of course there won't be, but it's remarkable that that book is there and it's opened. God is entirely fair, you know. You are being offered full and free salvation tonight. If you come by way of repentance, accepting what you are as a sinner, and claim the Saviour's work for yourself, you come into the most wonderful blessing. Well, may you do so. I've told you before, I think, about a certain George Matheson, who used to preach about And a great preacher of the gospel, and he used to go into hospitals and speak to people. And he went in this day, and the nurse was showing him round, and he heard a man cursing and swearing. And he said, I'd like to go and speak to that man. And she said, oh, I don't think you should. He's not a good... I don't think you should go. He says, no, I want to go and speak to him. So he went up to his bedside, and the man continued to curse and to swear. And he listened to him for a while, and in the middle, he interrupted him. And he said, what's that bar above your head? And the man stopped, and he looked up, and he said, well, it's for pulling me up if I slip down in the bed. And Mr. Matheson went on to preach the gospel to him, to show how he could be lifted out of the despond and despair he was in by trusting Christ. And how what he was as a sinner had been met by the Lord Jesus. Anyway, he left him, went away, and he went back the next week, and he said to the nurse, I want to go back and speak to that man. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, he died during the week. But he left a message for you. He said, tell Mr. Matheson, I got a hold of the bar. I trust you'll get a hold of the bar tonight. Christ, the rock of our salvation, one that you can trust implicitly for time and for eternity. May you do so, for his name's sake. Amen.